Please turn in your Bibles to Romans 3, page 885, in the Bibles in the seats. Hear the word of the Lord. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by the faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Felicia. Hey, Kate. How you doing, buddy? Whenever I get the feeling that people are sleeping on me, I can look over at Cade and I can know that someone's paying attention. As we have, like we talked about a few minutes ago, as we've gone through Advent, we've been talking about forgiveness, and specifically forgiveness in light of Christ's coming. And not just his first coming, but more so his second. As we've been doing this, I've been telling you right along that forgiveness is not truly forgiveness if we minimize the truth of what happened. We wind up, when we do that, we wind up with neither forgiveness nor the truth. Today, as we finish Advent and we prepare ourselves for Christmas, we're going to talk about how it is that forgiveness opens the way to pursue justice. You may be wondering, after all that we've looked at and all the consideration you've done for who you must forgive and how you must forgive and been wrestling through that, and you continue to wrestle through that, why is this particular thing important? Why is it important that we answer the question of how forgiveness opens the way to pursue justice? I got three ways that I think that's important. First of all, I think it's important to you. Even if you think right now, I don't know. I don't know that that's super important to me. I don't think that I've thought about it. But consider this. You probably have. Every time you are commanded to forgive and you hear that word and you say, but do you know what they did? Every time you say that, you're bringing up this question of forgiveness and justice and how they relate to each other. Second thing is that the world out there, the culture out there, specifically right now, firmly believes that there can be no justice where there is forgiveness. I don't know if you know that, but we hear things like cancel culture and things like that. Things like, when someone crosses my line, I am done with them. And not only that, I need to eliminate them from everybody else's life as well. There is a whole move of recently, and I don't know if any of you have caught wind of this, but there's a whole move recently to celebrate it when people cut off family members who've hurt them. Just cut them out of their lives. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes that has to happen for a time. But there's a confusion there that there can be no justice where there is forgiveness. That person who crossed you, that person who hurt you, does not deserve to be part of your life. Maybe that's true. So walk away. And don't have anything more to do with them. These are the forces that are constantly coming in on us. And I think where it becomes really dangerous for us is because, like, we'll say, no, I don't believe that, but then we will just buy into some really vague notion of forgiveness. And we will forgo forgiveness, actually. Third thing. Third reason why this is important is because Christ will come again to judge the world. He is perfectly just and he is forgiving, and there is no conflict. Hear me. There is no conflict between justice and mercy. Not in Christ, not in God. They cannot be in conflict because he is perfect. He is never not love, and he is never not just. Period. So this relationship between forgiveness and justice is a question right at the heart of the gospel. Right at the heart of the revelation of God from beginning to end. It is an important question. For all sorts of reasons. So let's, as we go to the Lord, as we are confronted by his word, as we receive it, let's ask for his help in transforming our hearts. Yeah? Let's pray. Lord, there's a lot more reasons why it's important. Lord, would you take your word and would you implant it and impress it deep in our hearts, that we would not doubt your goodness and we would not hesitate when we see how you love. And Lord, we would stop thinking that these things are in conflict with each other. Because of what you've done for us in Jesus Christ, they are not. Behold what love can do. Let us behold that and be transformed by it. Give us hearts that understand. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear. Lord, help us to turn from our own way and turn truly to yours. Surrender our lives in repentance and faith to you once again this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to keep Romans 3 open, okay? But I want to begin actually back in the Gospels this morning. In Mark chapter 11. You don't need to turn there, just listen. It'll be up on the screen. But in Mark chapter 11, Jesus says, whenever you pray, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. How many qualifications does Jesus give? How many excuses does he give there not to forgive? None. How many things does he say are supposed to happen before you forgive? None. No qualifications. When you pray, forgive. Period. And then I want to read to you from Luke chapter 17, because he says a little bit more. Pay attention to yourselves, Jesus says. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus says, pay close attention to yourselves. Why? What do you think? Because our hearts are so inclined to avoid the truth and withhold real forgiveness. And as Jesus has said over and over and over again, we've heard it here, we've heard it throughout the last few weeks, you hear it all over the place. withholding forgiveness is not an option for a Christian. It's not an option for a Christ follower. Forgiveness is not dependent in any way upon the number of offenses that that person has offended you. It is not dependent on their worthiness in any way. It is an act of grace. Forgiveness is not an act, is not of works, it is of grace. Having nothing to do. In fact, more often than not, it is contrary to what we deserve and our worthiness, isn't it? In the case of forgiveness, it's always contrary to what we actually deserve. Forgiveness, let me remind you, is a release from debt. It is to forgive someone is to absorb the cost of the debt that they owe to you. That means forgiveness is, we talked about this last week, it is a promise. It's a promise of how I'm going to act from here on out towards you. It is a promise that when it comes to mind, when whatever it is that comes to mind or you come to mind, that I am going to refuse to resent you. That I am going to think, I'm going to refuse to think of myself as superior to you. I'm going to refuse to make a list of grievances against you. I'm going to refuse to mentally replay the wrong over and over again and just start all this all over again. The aim of forgiveness is reconciliation and restoration. That cannot always happen here in this world. I know this. You know this. But it is the aim of forgiveness. This is what God is doing, has done in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Reconciliation and restoration is the aim. But listen again to what Jesus said in Luke 17. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Tell the truth. Bring it into the light where the consequences can be seen. Forgiveness is not a way of avoiding the truth. It's a way of dealing with it. It's not a way to avoid justice, but opens the way of pursuing justice without revenge. Now, we're not supposed to be... I don't think that means that we confront every slight against us. The more that you become mature in Christ, the more... You're able to withstand minor slights. But forgiveness opens the way to pursue justice without revenge. How many times have we seen, even in recent history, in the news, in our own experience, situations where gifted and influential leaders fall, but are put right back in place? And nowhere is this more obscene than in the church. Leaders are excused when they abuse their power and their positions to hurt others. These are men and women whose character are contrary to God's character, but we overlook these faults because it seems like they're being powerfully used by God at the time. Look how many people are coming to our church. Look how many people got baptized. Look at all this. Or maybe it just makes us feel better to attach ourselves to someone who seems strong and influential when we have so many things that are feel like they're up in the air in our lives. So we demand the victims of their sin to forgive them. But what we mean is forget about it and let everything go back to the way it was. We accept from these leaders general repentance, like, I could have done better, or I'm a sinner just like you. I love, you know, we're a Presbyterian church, and we use the Westminster Confession, and the confessions say, particular sins must be repented particularly. But we don't demand that from our leaders often. And then we go on pretending that things are okay. How many times have church leaders tried to escape the moral and the legal consequences of what they have done and their sins just in our recent lifetime. Rachel Denhollander and her husband wrote this phrase that I wanted to share with you. Injustice and unrighteousness are real, and God hates them. Has it occurred to us that our leaders will have to account for all of these things when our Lord comes? He will judge the living and the dead. Has it occurred to us what we really ought to do if we truly loved them and not just loved how they made us feel? It is decidedly unloving to another person to leave your brother or sister to just go on with their life in sin, to not challenge that. It is unloving to them. It is unloving to others that they might hurt both now and in the future. And it is unloving to God, who is ultimately the one who is sinned against. When we attempt to do forgiveness without justice, we wind up with neither. But now, I want you to remember what Jesus said in Mark 11. Every time you pray, forgive. That means that we do this prior to and apart from earthly justice being done. How do we hold all that together? It's possible because of the good news of Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 3. Look, we're not forgiven because God set aside justice. We're forgiven because God did it. That's really the point here. At the cross and the bloody sacrificial death of Jesus, ultimate justice has been done. God, the God who justifies the ungodly, showed himself to be just perfectly. Justice and mercy, justice and forgiveness. They are not contradictions because God is who he is and who he's demonstrated himself to be in Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to reiterate this. Perfect righteousness, perfect justice is unbending, it is unrelenting, it is unyielding. God has a measure. God's law is perfect. He does not grade on a curve. The Bible also affirms that God is love. God is merciful. God is the one who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And the very next words are, and by no means will leave the guilty unpunished. Well, if you forgive, aren't you leaving the guilty unpunished? How does that hold together? We see over and over again, God never, ever, ever sets aside one for the other. He can't. It's who he is. They're never a contradiction for him because he can never be a contradiction to himself. Look at Romans 3. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested. Paul has been talking up to this point about how the wrath of God has been revealed upon sin. And how that wrath is upon all. No one is accepted. No one gets a pass, and no one is exempted from God's judgment. Guilty. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what family you're from, what tribe, what nation. It doesn't matter what your past is, how much money you have, what your education is. All have sinned. Now the righteousness of God though, has been manifested, has been made known, apart from the law. It's made known not because we kept the law, but because something else happened. And Paul says, though the law and the prophets bear witness to this righteousness of God, they're always pointing to it. The law that is unbending and unyielding also speaks of forgiveness, right? It points at this righteousness of God. What is this righteousness of God? It is the righteousness that comes to us from God by faith in Jesus Christ. It is the righteousness that God displays when he declares sinners righteous because what Jesus has done. Not because what they have done, but because what Jesus has done. And Paul says this righteousness is for all who believe. All who believe. You know what the Greek word means behind that word all? I said this yesterday. All. All who believe. This is righteousness with no distinctions and no exceptions. This righteousness of God that comes to us by faith in Jesus Christ tells us two things. It tells us that all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All. Nobody came here having cleaned themselves up and made themselves right. This morning, none of you did. None of us did. The second thing it reveals, though, is that all who are justified by God, that is, to be declared righteous by God, are declared righteous as a free gift given by God, and given by God because of his grace. By his grace. When we talk about being justified, being declared righteous, what we're talking about is the final judgment of God being brought into our present now. God's declaration from the end is being pronounced on us now, righteous. This freely given gift comes to us by grace is only through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, Paul says in verse 24. Redemption means is a paying the cost to set another free. Redemption is kind of a Bible-y word, it's a churchy word, but what it means is to pay the cost to set another free. We only get this grace through the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ. And then look in verse 25. This Jesus whom God put forth purposefully, publicly displayed by God as a propitiation by his blood. I know that we love when we run into words like propitiation, don't we? But it's there, so let's talk about it. What does that mean? Propitiation is a sacrifice that sets aside God's wrath on all that is sinful and unjust. We struggle with the idea of God's wrath. Even more that his wrath demands blood. It makes God sound like he wants to condemn us. It makes God sound primitive, regressive. But when we think along these lines, when we fail to distinguish what God says from what everyone else says, we miss one huge thing. All human religion seeks to have their gods propitiated, their wrath turned away by making sacrifices to appease them, to change their minds, so that their gods will go, will change their minds about them from being angry to being willing to bless them. But listen to what this says. In Jesus, God himself presents the sacrifice. Not people, God does. And God himself is the sacrifice. Not to make him willing to bless and forgive, but because that is exactly what he wants to do. There's no changing God's mind here. God did these things to forgive. It's exactly what he desires to do. The debt wasn't forgotten or shifted onto somebody else. God himself paid the cost for justice to be done. All of this can ever only be received by faith. Faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not having a good attitude. Faith is not just believing generally. Faith, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, is like breathing. We're not saved because of our faith any more than our lungs deserve the air that they receive. Breathing is just the way we get the air. Faith is just the way we receive God's grace. It's a freely given gift of God in Christ, a work done by God himself who stood in our place through Jesus. Tim Keller says, all you need to come to Jesus is nothing. But there are very few people who are willing to bring that. I think he's right. Paul says this, looking on in verse 25, this demonstrates God's righteousness now. All of this demonstrates his righteousness now because God, in his divine forbearance, in his purposeful patience, bore the sins of the world until he laid them on Christ. He waited. He waited. God had passed over former sins. He had not yet carried out his wrath on sin. This is, I think, really important for those of us who, I mean, maybe next year you plan to read through the Bible next year. And we tend to start and get going and make it through Genesis, okay, and Exodus up to chapter 20 to 25, okay. And then we get bogged down in some tabernacle stuff. And then we hit Leviticus and everything is gone. Why? I mean, because we don't understand it, because it's foreign to us, but more than that, because we don't know what to do with this God. But whatever you think about the Old Testament, I don't know if you've considered that the clearest and most extreme example of God's wrath being poured out, it's not even close, is at the cross. All of his wrath upon sin poured out at the cross. God himself bearing the weight in Jesus. This shows that God right now is both just because the debt is actually paid and the one who justifies, the one who has faith in Jesus. That means that the forgiveness that we receive by faith in Jesus is possible because justice has been done. We can forgive because justice has been done. Friends, This is why forgiveness allows us to pursue justice without revenge. We don't have to get even because we know that there's no shred of injustice that God has that God will allow to stand ultimately. For us who believe we have justice, that debt has been paid. Not one shred of injustice gets to have the win in the end. It's good and right to pursue earthly justice. It is. We ought to. God commands us to do this out of love for our neighbor. But forgiveness cannot be dependent upon earthly justice. Why? Because even in the best of circumstances in this world, everything lines up. Nobody's putting back together again what was broken. Are they? Much can be done, but there's still an incompleteness to it. The fact is, what was done cannot be undone. We can't make up for what was lost. What was broken cannot be put together as though it didn't happen. If forgiveness doesn't come first, our pursuit of justice will be an act of revenge. We will slide right into that. Get them. And the simple fact is that one evil can't overcome another evil and lead to reconciliation and restoration. So we also forbear, even when earthly justice seems delayed and we don't see it. Because we know ultimate justice has already come and will come again. That's what sets the justice of God apart. Because Jesus paid the full debt and justice was done. When Jesus rose from the dead and through him God unleashed new creation, that means that one day when all is complete, our God who has done what is right, has done what is just, can truly remake all that is broken and make it whole. All that has been torn apart can be put back together again better than it was. Death gets nothing in the end. That's what the resurrection means. Nothing. Justice can be satisfied because the judge himself paid the cost, not only for the sins that we have committed, but also for the ripples of corruption and hurt that we have left in our wake. All of it. Everything, as the song says, as Sam Gamgee says, everything that is sad coming untrue. God swallowing all injustice and sin and death in the victory of our resurrected and coming Lord Jesus. That's why we can forgive. Whether or not the justice we pursue rightly here on earth gets carried out. When we forgive, we refuse to let revenge be the goal, and we refuse to pretend that we are the judge. The glory is given to God, who is just and is love. Because the simple fact is, when we are sure that justice has been done and will be, when we are sure of that, all of our reasons for not forgiving, they just melt away. All of our prevarications, all of our rationalizations, all of them, we lose all reason not to forgive because we know that justice is done. When we forgive, we are able to pursue justice the right way. Out of love and with no contradiction. That means that when we even have to use legal means to pursue justice here on earth, forgiveness allows us to pursue it for the sake of the one who actually sinned and for the sake of others, as God commands. For the love of those of them and those they're hurting and might hurt, and for the love of God. In Luke 17, the last verse that in verse 5, the last verse that we read, it'll be up here on the screen. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." How is it? What is it that we need for this? Increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. Do you see why? We must grab hold of the justice that God has done in Christ, not only to rest secure in His forgiveness, but in order to forgive, in order to do His command. God, I was reminded of this again because I was reading in Exodus 16 when God gave manna, and then He commands them to go out and to gather the manna, right? And He as they're doing that, they're not to leave any left over for the next day. And they do. And then they get through the 6 days, and God says, gather double the amount, because don't go out tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day of rest. And some of them don't. God, when He commands, He gives what we need to obey. He gave the manna they needed to obey. He gives the justice we need to obey Him when He says, forgive as you have been forgiven. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. As with everything else, it is Jesus who is the good news that you need. Don't stop. And Lord, for us not to stop means that we ask You not to stop. Don't stop coming after us. Don't stop healing us. Don't stop exposing the sin that we still let dominate our lives. Lord, the day is coming when You will come again. That is a real hope, not a wishful thought. So, Lord, would You make us willing and ready to respond to everyone, knowing that we will stand before You, that because of what You've done, all of our sin will be forgiven, that it hasn't been just passed by, but you have done what is just. You've done it by stepping in Yourself, God. Everything changed when You took on flesh. Everything changed. Lord, keep changing us. In the name of Christ, our Lord, Jesus, Savior of the world, we pray. Amen.